Hi guys, my name's Owen, one of the pastors here at Grace Point Church, and it's a joy to be here to preach the final part of this book, this letter to the Christians in Asia Minor through the Apostle Peter. Next week we'll be beginning a new series we're going back to the Old Testament this time, and we'll be looking at the book of Daniel. And so if you want to prepare yourself, read Daniel chapter 1 and you'll be well prepared. Let me pray and ask God to help us as we hear his word together. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are the chief shepherd over our souls, over our church, over your church throughout the world. We thank you also, Lord, for the privilege of serving you as your people and responding to your words as you lead us. And we pray that you'll teach us how you care for us and how we should respond to the care that you give us through the leaders you appoint. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, on the 15th of May, 2010, Jessica Watson sailed into the calm waters of Sydney Harbour. She sailed in her 10-meter yacht, a pink-hulled yacht called Ella's Pink Lady, and a large crowd of over 75,000 people, according to Wikipedia, were there waiting for her at the steps of the Opera House, cheering her on as she arrived, together with the then Prime Minister, Kevin Rudd. And as she arrived, she became the youngest person at the age of 16 years to sail around the world non-stop and unassisted. And it was an incredible achievement, 7 months at sea alone. 7 months alone managing her yacht, doing her own repairs, surviving multiple storms. At one point, she shared about a storm where the waves were 10 meters high, and where the boat was picked up and violently thrown down into a mountain of breaking water, and where she experienced at least 4 knockdowns. Knockdown is where the mast hits the water. But it didn't just hit the water, it went right down into the water. But what she did was she not only survived, but she made it to the end. She managed to successfully reach her destination to the pride of family, friends, and followers throughout the world. And in many ways, as we look at Jessica Watson's successful solo adventure, we're often tempted to see her success as a model for our own lives. That success for us means getting through life non-stop and unassisted, carrying our own supplies, doing our own repairs, weathering our own storms. And that's what our world, in fact, values. The ruggedness of being an individual, self-sufficient survivor. Now, I wonder if this is how you feel about what you go through. Each of us go through different struggles and trials in our lives. It may be sickness, it may be family issues, it may be finances, maybe finding employment. But as you go through the trials of your own life, do you find success as defined by carrying your own load unassisted throughout life? Because if you do, then you need to hear God's word to you, which is this, that the Christian life is not a solo adventure. The Christian life is a community project. Christians are not called to travel alone and succeed alone, but to travel in community with others. We're not called to be unassisted, but to carry one another's burdens, to love each other deeply from the heart, because love covers over a multitude of sins. To offer hospitality to each other without grumbling. to serve with the gifts that God has given to each one of us to benefit others, the body of Christ, in intimate relationship with others, as we together follow the God who leads us, and the God who walks with us, the God who, through the resurrection of Jesus, means that we are now never alone, but we are and ever will be assisted by the power and the protection and the leadership of our great, the great shepherd of the sheep, the one who rose from the dead on our behalf. Now, what we need to understand this evening is that God cares for us in very practical ways. God doesn't just care for us by his personal presence in our lives. God puts people in our lives to care for us. God puts people in our lives to lead us. And in a very practical way, God cares for us through the leaders that he has appointed in his church and in his churches, in his congregations, in his gatherings throughout the world. God has appointed leaders for the sake of his people. And this is what Peter speaks about in chapter 5, verse 1. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care. Now, as I've said, all of us have been given a gift. All of us have a vital contribution to make to the building up of the body of Christ, to encouraging and serving God's purposes, both in the church and throughout the world. But this evening, the focus is on the particular gift of spiritual leadership that God has given in the church. And as Peter writes, the Apostle Peter, he assumes that in every congregation that he writes to, there are elders. There are groups of elders who have this oversight role or a leadership role over local congregations. And now, an elder, biblically speaking, is a person who is a spiritually mature person, recognized by their character and gifts, qualified to have spiritual oversight over a congregation. An elder is one who primarily is qualified through the character of their lives, and then secondly, through their ability to lead and to teach. Now, the role of the elder, as we find in this passage, is interchangeable with the role of shepherd and the role of pastor. Because what does the word pastor mean? To pastor means to shepherd. And so the role of an elder is to be a shepherd, is to be a pastor. So Peter says to the elders, be shepherds of God's flock. And then in verse 2, again, he says, be shepherds serving as overseers. So you see, elders are shepherds, they're pastors, they're overseers. They have spiritual oversight over a congregation in which a congregation that God has put under their care. Now, this is very similar to what Paul says to the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20, which will come up just now. Acts chapter 20, verse 28, Paul speaks to them, his final speech to this group of elders, and he says to them with great seriousness, watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. Be shepherds of the church of God. Now, what does it mean to be a shepherd of God's flock? Well, the actual role of a shepherd in biblical times was to live with their sheep. It was to be a physical presence there with them. It was to lead them to green pastures so they could be fed. It was to protect them from wild animals, from wolves, from other predators. It was to have a working knowledge of their sheep so they would know how to care for them. Now, a Christian elder is to do that for their congregations. It is to know their sheep. It is to know their congregations. It is to lead them by teaching the word of God. It is to lead them, it is to protect them from false teaching. It is to lead them by their own example as they live out the life that God has called us to live as a church. Now if elders are shepherds, if elders are pastors, then what you used to say a while ago is correct. At Grace Point, we have many pastors. We don't just have the paid pastors. We have 7 or 8 pastors because all the elders are shepherds. All the elders are pastors. In the context of our church, we have 3 English-speaking congregations, one that meets here, 2 that meets in Lidcombe Church. And currently, and most of our elders are currently meeting in our Lidcombe congregation. And I didn't bring a photo, which I should have, but for those of you who haven't been here for a while, let me name for you who the elders are. Mark Hing is one of them. The others are Andrew Koo, Min Vo, Neville Fong, Jason Lau. These are the unpaid elders who willingly serve as overseers of our church. Then we have Simon Wong, Eugene, and myself, who are the paid elders, those whose primary role is to lead and teach in a full-time capacity over the different congregations. And the eldership team as a whole, both the paid and unpaid elders, the paid and unpaid pastors, we have that the responsibility for overseeing all those whom God has given to us under our care. But within the ministry of our church, there is also another vital group of leaders in our church, whom we call our community group leaders. Because at the heart of our ministry is our community groups that meet, groups of people, whether workers or students, who meet together to do life together, to respond to God's word together, to do mission together. And these groups are led by community group leaders whose very function is to assist the work of the elders. And effectively what you're doing as leaders of community groups is that you're acting as mini pastors, mini shepherds of those small groups. And so as we look at these few verses and what shepherds are called to do, what elders are called to do, then it applies, I want to apply it also to those who are leaders of groups, because this is also your role as you support those who are elders and pastors in this church. So to those who are elders and pastors, to those who are CG leaders, this is what the Apostle Peter says to you. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing as God wants you to be. Not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Now here's the first instruction. Be shepherds of God's flock. Be shepherds of God's flock. As you serve, as you who are community group leaders, as Mark and I lead in our capacities, we need to remember that the congregation we lead is not a voluntary group of people. It's not a group of people who have voluntarily come together. But we as the gathered body of Christ are people whom God has brought together. God, whom through the gospel, through the blood, through the death of Christ on our behalf, has brought us together to be his people. And And having been bought by his blood, we have to remember the preciousness of the people that God has called us to lead. And the accountability that we have ultimately is not to them, it's not to ourselves, but it is to God himself. And we have to be accountable to God for the way that we lead, the way that we teach, the way that we lead our live our lives. We have to take seriously the responsibility for which we must one day all give an account. Now again, I want to say that every Christian must one day give an account for the lives that they have lived, that you have lived, and for the way that you have used the gifts that God has given you to serve within the church. But here, elders and leaders within this church are given this special reminder that they must give an account, because the group of people that they are leading and serving are the flock of God. Therefore, be shepherds over his flock. Love them and serve them. Serve them willingly. Serving not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. God wants us, as we serve, to give of ourselves cheerfully, not grudgingly. And he wants us to do it not for personal gain, but for the benefit of others. Not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you. Not leading people in a domineering way, not in a way that forces people to do what they don't want to do. Not using power or force or manipulation. But calling people to follow as we lead by our example. And as we do, we're to look forward to our eternal reward. We're to remember that as we go through the setbacks and the disappointments of leadership, that our reward ultimately is kept in heaven for us. And he calls us, therefore, to be faithful and to be shepherds. Now, we need this reminder because the role of a leader is hard work. The role of a leader means being there even when others don't turn up. It means being prepared when others come unprepared. It means being committed to prayer for others when others don't even pray for themselves. It means prioritizing the group or the church when others, members in the church, fail to prioritize the group themselves. It means persevering when sheep don't want to follow. It means persevering and loving and being patient when some of God's sheep are slower than others to keep up. And as shepherds, what you'll learn, as leaders, what you'll learn over time is that as you love them, as you care for them, as you build intimate relationship with them, what you'll discover is that sheep bite. Sheep bite, even as you're trying to feed them. Now, I've got personal experience of this with my own kids, with Caleb and Micah, whom Cass and I love more than anything. And yet sometimes they literally bite. and we've been bitten, and Cass has been bitten a lot more times than I. I wish I could take her place at those moments. But what happens is that we're starting to wean Micah off that right now, off biting. But what happens is that when he was biting, that he'd get overly excited. He'd bite Cass on the shoulder or on the leg. It'd be painful. But sometimes it's out of frustration. It's out of anger. It's out of a deliberate reaction to something that they don't like. And they not only bite us, they bite each other. Sheep bite each other. That's also a reality, isn't it? Even within our own congregation, with people who hurt each other. And I've got photos of Caleb and Micah and their bite marks, just to remind them one day what they were like. Now, biting hurts. Biting hurts. And as a pastor, as a leader of a group, as an elder, we need to be prepared to be shepherds over God's sheep, even when they bite, and even when they bite each other. We might become angry, but we mustn't stop loving. We may be disappointed, but we mustn't stop persevering and praying for them. This is what the people that God has appointed as leaders are called to do. The hard work of leading people when they are faithful, and leading people when they're unfaithful. And there's many examples of this, of the churches of God who have been very difficult to lead, whether it's the Corinthian church or whether it's the church that Moses led in the wilderness. Moses was one of the greatest leaders of the people of God, unmistakably God's spokesman and leader. God demonstrated Moses' leadership at the mountain through a thundering voice. And yet, how did Israel respond throughout the wilderness, except to grumble, except to try and steer him back towards Egypt? At more than one point, seeking to depose him as leader. Leading the people of God is not necessarily an easy task. It does not always feel rewarding. But that is why we're called to hear this command: be shepherds of God's flock under your care. Even when they bite, keep leading, loving, and praying for them, because they are the flock of God. And as you faithfully do your work, God will be faithful in doing his work. Fix your eyes on your heavenly reward and not on your present suffering as you lead them. Now, to those who are under the leadership of others, let me speak to you. Let me ask you to hear God's word to you. If you are under a leader, verse 5, in the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. Now, in the NIV, 1984, it says, submit to those who are older. But the word older is actually the same word for elder. Is actually the same word that is used for elder in the Greek. And so you need to actually look at the context to determine whether it's talking about an older person or whether it's talking about a person who has the office of elder within the church. And I think the updated version of the NIV actually has it correct. And what Peter is saying in response to the responsibility of the elders is that those who are younger, those who follow their leadership, they're to submit to their elders. They're to have a general willingness to support the direction and the decisions of the elders, except where they call you to sin. But if you are a member of a local church which God has appointed leaders over you, then willingly support their leadership. Willingly support them. Because you see, your leaders are God's appointed means of caring over your souls. Your leaders are God's appointed means for leading you in the knowledge of God and in godliness. And this is why it's important, you see, for us not just to be church attenders, not just to be church hoppers or visitors to different churches. It's important to be a member, a committed regular member of a local gathering, so that in relationship, so that you can not only be in relationship with God's people and love them and serve them, but that you can sit under the leadership and authority of God's appointed leaders, God's elders within his church. Because this is the way that God practically cares for us, as he shepherds us through the human shepherds that he appoints. And as you recognize their leadership, their God-given leadership, then support them. Do everything that you can to support their work. They work hard for you. They pray for you. They prepare. They're always there, unless they're on holidays. They meet up with individuals. They care for you and love you. They're not like worldly shepherds who are there only because they're paid to be there, or only because the job is fulfilling. But they work faithfully for your good as they lead you each week. Christian leaders serve not for their own sake, but for the sake of their members. Hear the words from the author of Hebrews chapter 13, and how he encourages us, those who are being led within the church. Hebrews 13, verse 17, obey your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. See, submit to those whom God has appointed as leaders over you, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this for their joy, because the more they enjoy their work, the more effective their work will be. Because the harder it is for them to lead, the more difficult it will be for them to be a help to you, to encourage you in the way that God has called them to do. So what are ways that you can be supporting your leaders? What are ways that you can be encouraging them, contributing to their work? Well, one of the best ways to support them is to actually ask them. Ask your leaders how you can support them. Ask how you can pray for them. Ask what their needs are. Don't be someone who only has burdens to share and prayer points to share to those who are your leaders. Because you see, leaders and elders and pastors, they have needs too. They're human too. So do whatever you can to support their work. Use the gifts that God has given you and encourage other members of the flock of God. Encourage them, help them, heal them, those who are weak, those who are hurt, those who are broken. Be a member, be an active member of the team that God has called you and I to be a part of. Now, Cass and I have been through our ups and downs as a family. I've been through my ups and downs as a pastor and as a leader of this church. This year, we've been through sickness. We've been through our own challenges in raising two kids. We've been through the challenge of having a family member who's especially unwell this year and for whom Cass has had to take extra time to be there. But as we've gone through our own struggles, what we have been really helped by has been those who have asked how they could help, those who have prayed for us, those who have cooked meals for us, who have offered us babysitting, who have prayed for us. And that makes our work a great joy And it definitely helps to lighten our burdens as we seek to serve within this church. Now, each one of us have our own load to carry. But even as we carry our own load, we're called to carry the load of others. We're called to encourage our leaders and support their work. So do that for your leader. Do it tonight or do it this week. Ask your leader how you can pray for them. Ask them what their needs are. And if you're already doing this, let me encourage you, continue to do it. Because as you do, it will only be a benefit to you as your leaders are encouraged even more to serve in the way that God has called them to serve. Now, in the last part of this letter, Peter calls on every one of us to humble ourselves before God. Verse 5, all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves therefore under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Again, we're reminded here that the Christian life is not a solo adventure, but it's a community project. We have many elders and pastors and community group leaders in this church, and we're very blessed to have so many who are prepared to lead. And as we lead, our final confidence is in the God who leads us and in the God who cares for us. The one who is our chief shepherd, Jesus himself, our senior pastor, is him that we ultimately follow, who leads and protects us and provides for us. Now, if you're not a Christian here this evening, well, the one that we follow is the one who ultimately served us. Jesus Christ, who served us by giving us his own life, dying the death that we deserved, dying for the sins that we committed against him, so that we can be forgiven and brought into a relationship with him. And this Jesus who died, not only died, but he rose again as the guarantee of our own future, our own imperishable future in him. Our own future of unfading glory in the presence of God and in the company of all his people. And he is not only risen, but he now leads us. He not only bought us with his blood, but he leads us in this life. And he calls us as a church to follow him, to serve him, to confidently live out our identity as God's people in an unbelieving world, as a community of God's people who love and serve each other, who are led by God's appointed leaders, and leaders who are supported and encouraged as we serve and live out his will in our lives together. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the great blessing of being members of your church, of knowing you as our senior pastor, the one who leads us and shepherds us. And we thank you, Lord, that you are not only with us individually, but you give us the gift of being members of the community of not only of all your people, but of people gathered in local gatherings throughout the world, and here in Burwood and in Lidcombe. Father, we pray that you would help us to stand in awe once more, in gratitude and thanks, that you have bought the church, your flock, with your own blood, and you have given us different gifts, and particularly the gift of leadership. And we pray, Father, that you would Help us who are leaders to lead with your wisdom, with your integrity, and with your faithfulness. And we pray that as a church, that we might ever follow and trust in you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.